update your home and save big money with Mastercraft Doors at Menards. For over 50 years, Mastercraft has been making quality doors inside and out. Choose from the best in-stock selection of interior and exterior doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way with our free designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the ultra active and ultra successful in 2025 Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Travis Ryer, live from Party Girl Avondale. Historic Avondale, where St. John's and Herschel meet, basically, over on the west side of Duval. Oh, yeah. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Evan Ryer. Evan, fresh from Jacksonville. We were together Monday night at Everbank Stadium, an all-timer as the Jacksonville Jaguars knock off the mighty Kansas City Chiefs. Evan now safely back in the ham, Birmingham, Alabama. Evan, are you still floating? The last time I saw you here in Jacksonville, you were literally floating on air.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be coming down for a while. I mean, that is, you know, I've seen the Jags win playoff games on the road. I've seen the Jags, you know, have some crazy finishes. But there was something about that night in, at Everbank that just was really special. You know, I think it's all the different factors, right? It's the going down 14-0, you're playing, the AFC defending champs. You know, you're facing off against Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. You know, you're in a situation where generally, even when the Jags have been good in the past, they don't go win that game. That's not, you know, you go look at like 2017, 2022, you know, those teams don't win that game. I don't know. I don't know if that 2017 team might've won that game, but an immaculate evening, and a ton of fun, and so happy I got to be next to you and my mom and my sister while we did it.
Yeah, it was a family experience for the Ryers on Monday night, no doubt about it. And hey, we even utilized mass transit.
Yeah,
in Jacksonville. That's not something you hear a lot, Ev.
No, Jacksonville's not exactly known for their public transit.
Game Day Express down there, and look, kudos to those folks at the JTA for that service. Yeah, it's not free, but relative to what you would pay for parking space or just accessibility in and out of the stadium, that was a good experience in and of itself. For really from start to finish, it was a fun Monday night. And we thought the action might be just limited to early in the week until you get to this weekend and the Seattle Seahawks venturing over from the West Coast. But James Gladstone, man, he has some different ideas. Dealing Jimmy Gladstone. He's going to be known maybe here on the show. The Righteous Gladstone. The Jags, earlier today, pretty big news, Ev, as they swap corners. Tyson Campbell, the $70+ million man, headed to Cleveland. Greg Newsome, in exchange, coming down from the Cleveland Browns. Your initial reaction to that?
I think it definitely took me by surprise. I don't think anybody was really expecting that. Overall, I like the move. I like the idea of it because Greg Newsome has been playing in a Browns defense that is actually very man focused, but he projects more as a zone corner. And that's what the Jags want to do under Campanelli. Mm-hmm. I think that fits. And I don't think Tyson Campbell really benefited from being in a zone scheme himself. So I actually like the deal for both sides. You know, Newsom's definitely not, you know, a super prominent name. Doesn't necessarily have a crazy resume to boast. But this is a former first round pick, you know, a really talented guy who maybe with a change of scenery might unlock what, you know, the Browns saw in him when they took him in the first round 5 years ago.
Yeah, and you've got some financial burden removed, I guess.
Too. A little bit. Not as much as you'd like.
Not as much as you would like. And in terms of value, in retrospect, what you paid Tyson Campbell basically per start for what you gave him in that most recent deal, not ideal. I don't worry about that as much. I know a lot of media, a lot of fans will make a big deal out of stuff like that. And I'm always like, why are you making a big deal out of it? It's not like it's your money. Right. And it's not inhibiting your team from winning moving forward, really. But yeah, Newsom, if you get the 2023 guy, I guess, from a couple of seasons ago, and you're the Jags, you feel pretty good about that. And it's not like this is a desperation move for the Jags regardless. If Greg Newsom is great as sort of a rental, if it plays out that way the rest of the season, then great. You benefit from that. But I'll tell you, boy, you still have a guy named Travis Hunter at the corner position. You still have Jarian Jones, a young player. And Buster Brown might have made the best play by a DB in the game Monday night. Made a hell of a play on a ball ripped right down the middle of the field.
No, it's this secondary is really finding itself. And I think Newsom can fit into that pretty nicely. Like I said, definitely a guy that should do well in his own scheme. And then also kind of like the addition of Jordan Lewis, Newsom's kind of known for talking that yay, for having some edge. You know, I love seeing that. You know, you love having a corner that's kind of, you know, loud and boisterous and all that stuff. And Tyson Campbell is not that guy, really. You know, he's a pretty reserved individual in terms of his personality, which is fine. I think the intangibles aren't the most important thing here. But I'm very interested to see how this goes. You would think when you're up, 4-1 on the season, then maybe you just let it rock. You know, you don't, really rock the boat any at all. But I'm curious what the vibe is in the locker room after that, because it doesn't come off as like we don't like Tyson Campbell. We don't appreciate, his vibe or his contributions. It's more just Gladstone saw an opportunity and said, okay, let's see if we can get this team a little bit better.
Well, this regime isn't going to stand pat. I think we understand that. And that's why a game or two into the Brian Thomas Jr. situation, there was a part of me that was thinking, I will not wake up shocked, or I will not be shocked at any time during the day if I see a news flash that a guy like even BTJ is on the move.
And I wouldn't even rule that out at this point.
That was one of the first thoughts I had after hearing Tyson Campbell was going, that, well, maybe what my instincts were telling me a little bit with BTJ a couple of weeks ago wasn't entirely off. Although I think we've seen him trending more in a positive direction, it seems like, the last couple of weeks.
No, definitely. BTJ was still very solid against the Chiefs. Obviously
big
not
catch.
A massive game, but had that. I mean, that was an incredible throw and catch. Yep. And also just, no mistakes, which is really what, let's start there, right? Like, let's just make sure we're catching the ball and moving forward. And he's doing that right now. I really think, Gladstone said after the trade that he was like, I we're definitely open to trading again, to get more pieces. I think while BTJ is definitely a possibility, if I'm rooting for anything, it's a DT. I would love for the Jags to go pick up like a high profile DT and make something happen there. Maybe Dexter Lawrence. I've seen some chatter online about Dexter Lawrence.
That would be a big one. Yeah.
That would be huge. I personally love a GM that is assertive, aggressive, proactive, and really Gladstone's been that every step of the way since he got in the front office less than a year ago.
Yeah, when you have moves, big moves, the move up to get Travis Hunter, moving Tyson Campbell from Jacksonville to Cleveland here in the last 6-8 hours, you start to think about, okay, what is this doing to the integrity of our future drafts? And really, other than a number one for 2026, Jags still in a good spot in terms of number of picks around
spots
with this trade. They did. Absolutely.
Yeah. They moved up 50 spots. You like that. You didn't lose draft capital. You just enhanced it. And you also swapped, a known quantity, not a fantastic one, but a solid one for a guy that also has been pretty good this year. Greg Newsom's opposing passer rating this season is back to where he was the first 3 years of his career. He's only allowed an 87.4 passer rating. That's pretty good after being at 112.5 last year. So you like to think that he's back to where the Browns kind of had him initially. I am curious about you know, what he necessarily offers besides just being kind of a zone coverage ball hawk type of guy. You know, I need to, you know, make, you know, we need to make sure that dude can tackle, because at the end of the day, if you're playing zone, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of that. But it's overall a positive move, I would say. I'm definitely not mad about it. And, you know, we can wait till 2026 to talk about the 20 million and dead cap. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. That doesn't really matter right now. Now, if the Jags struggle to improve the roster next season, then that might be an issue. But like I said, for now, just ride the 4-1, continue improving the team, and feel good about it.
Well, this was a team that, as we talked about in the lead up to this season, still had the look of a playoff window team. Maybe not a championship window, but a team that certainly could be viable for the playoffs. Right. And I think moves like this, you're making them thinking more in line with potential championships, because the AFC right now, you just beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The Baltimore Ravens are not good right now, especially with Lamar Jackson and his health status. The Bills, you got a taste of that firsthand in Western New York last season. We both got a taste of that in Western New York last season. But, as a whole, when you look at this conference right now, it's not crazy. It's still early enough to not go too crazy. But through the divisional playoff round, why wouldn't you be thinking right now that, you know what, we could end up hosting through the divisional round, maybe not through the conference championship, but through the divisional round. And if you have a chance to do that, you need to fortify your club right now every way you can. And that's what Gladstone and this regime look to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is like, it's, if you get these decisions right, you know, if these kind of, I don't want to call them gambles, I want to call them calculated risks. if you get these right, then you are going to be looking at not only a better team, but a schedule in the back half of the season that you can really rack up the wins. I mean, we've talked about it all offseason. We've talked about it the past few weeks. We said over and over, it's like, just get to through week 5 at 2-3 and you can kind of make something happen. Well, the Jaguars are 4-1 and they are looking like, you know, they're looking like they're probably going to beat the Seahawks this weekend. I mean, the Seahawks are not going to be easy, but I mean,
Seahawks are beat up, as we're going to talk about too, from an injury perspective.
I mean, really, after the Seahawks and Rams, which both of those are really solid, good teams, probably I'd say the Rams are the better of those two. I mean, you're talking Vegas, Houston, Cardinals, Titans twice, Jets. I mean, these are games that, I mean, you're looking at potentially like a 12 or 13 win season at the current rate. So, I mean, that would be, I mean, far beyond our expectations. And it's hard not to, you know, already start dreaming of what, you know, this team can potentially do in the playoffs.
Yeah, you look at the NFC West games for the Jags, it's going to probably come down to the Rams in London, whether or not they sweep that division.
Yeah.
You know, because the Seahawks this weekend, that's a very winnable game in Jacksonville. You got some experience pretty recently against Sam Darnold a year ago when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. You picked him off 3 times in Jacksonville. You know, Arizona's a team you're going to go into, barring unforeseen injuries or setbacks, expecting to beat. They seem to be a little bit of a spiral right now with some of their issues, not just related to winning and losing either. And then that game in London with the Rams, for sure. Now, in terms of the health status of Newsom, does that worry you a little bit? Because, you know, he is dealing with a hamstring, I believe, right now.
Yeah. You know, it's not the biggest concern in the world. Now, I will say, if he can't go this weekend, then I kind of feel like maybe you could have waited to make this trade, you know, get Tyson Campbell one more run out there while he's healthy. But I don't think the hamstring's very significant. It doesn't sound like it is anyways. Mm-hmm. Also,
he's nursing.
Right.
Something he's
nursing. He has to pass a physical to make the trade happen, right? I mean, the Jaguars got to look at how he's looking, so they felt good about it. And, you know, in terms of long-term health, while Newsom's had some injuries in the past, I mean, Tyson Campbell has too. I mean, you've lost a lot of time with Tyson Campbell due to injuries. So overall, I'm not really concerned for the now or the later.
Yeah. He he was questionable going into the matchup, I guess, in London against the Vikings and still played, had six tackles in a pass defense, played every single defensive snap. So shouldn't be any concern on that front. Speaking of concerns, though, Ev, with all of this aftermath following the Chiefs win, city of Jacksonville still pickled, I would say, a little pickled, maybe borderline inebriated still after the events of Monday night. The hangover potential with the Seattle Seahawks. Would you be more concerned if this team was going on the road? Or is it comforting to know that right back there at Everbank, a place that quickly seems to be becoming a stronghold for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're going to get the Seattle team that we talked about coming in with some health issues, no doubt.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big deal that this game is at home. I mean, I would feel a lot less confident if, you know, the Jags were having to go all the way out to the West Coast and try and, you know, continue this, continue the ball rolling, I guess. Yeah, I think there's something to be said about when you go 3-0 at home to start the season. I mean, you got to feel good playing in Jacksonville. Like, I mean, and that's, it's been a while since the Jags have really, you know, can say that, because even in the 2022 season, they weren't necessarily a home fortress team. Right now, it feels like they can't lose at home. You know, you feel good about that. And then, like you said, the Seahawks are a bit banged up. You know, Tariq Woolen's dealing with a concussion. That's probably the biggest name to watch in terms of that injury report of the Seahawks. If Tariq Woolen can't go, that's a big, big deal. DeMarcus Lawrence is another name you think about. Devin Witherspoon. I mean, they're like second and third level guys are banged up right now. So might be a game for Trevor to, you know, carry that momentum after a really great performance against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and an offense that around Sam Darnold is certainly formidable. I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba is one of the very best receivers in the NFC West, if not the National Football League. He's coming off a huge performance in a tough loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last weekend. Cooper Kupp, you know about that guy. Yep. Been around a long, long time. A.J. Barner at the tight end position. He only has 14 catches in five games, but four have gone for touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, the running back position, as you sort of outlined there, too. Kenneth Walker's averaging nearly 5 yards per carry. I mean, that's a healthy average in the National Football League.
You know, it's funny, too, though, because there's been games this season. I've watched a good bit of the Seahawks this year, and I don't know why they don't hand it off to Kenneth Walker more, because he looks so dominant every time he touches the ball. But there's been quite a few times that they've really leaned into Sam Darnold, and for good reason. I mean, like you said, Njigba right now is one of the most productive receivers in the NFL. And that's going to be, you know, if Craig Newsom's coming in hot, there's going to be quite a bit on him to help limit that. And like you said,
15.7 per catch for Njigba.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
And 123 yards after the catch.
Yeah.
He's a lot.
It's not just Darnold placing it. It's what Njigba can do. He's not, you know, it's insane because he's not like a 4.3 runner or anything like that. He definitely has some jets, but he's not the fastest dude in the world. He's just shifty as all get out. He'll make you miss over and over and over. And so the Jags are going to have to be disciplined when they take him on this weekend. And it's kind of the same deal with Walker and Charbonnet. It's that, you know, after first contact that you get worried about with those two dudes. And they found a lot of success with it this year.
Darnold's been sacked six times in five games. That's a reasonable number. And when he does run it, he doesn't look like he would be an effective runner. But he has three carries for 38 yards when he hasn't been sacked.
Right.
He has a long run of 24 yards, which is the second longest run by a Seahawk. Kenneth Walker with a long of 31 on the season. So let me ask you this, the confidence level now, understanding what the Seahawks team is going to present on the offensive side of the ball, pretty balanced, pretty complete offensively. But with those defensive injuries, three starters out last week against the Bucs for the Seahawks on that side of the ball, Another one went out injured in that loss. So potentially four. You've got some important complementary players on that defense that are on that injury report as we approach the end of the week. Are you ready to come on board, Ev? Are you ready to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars to win a game? Or are you thinking, look, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Kind of, I know,
keep going the way you're going, and they're winning. So how do you approach that, Ev?
I know. If I, oh man, the thing is the score I have in my mind is I think it's going to be a bit of a barn burner. I've actually got like 33-27.
Wow.
I got a high scoring game. I think the reason it's going to be a high scoring game is actually turnovers. I know that doesn't necessarily, you know, it seems like a paradox there, but the Seahawks have turned the ball over twice in three different games this year. Actually, I think it might be four. No, three. So I think the Jags defense is going to be able to turn the ball over about as much as they have been all season. The Seahawks like to put the ball on the ground. They fumble a lot. I think the Jags are going to play complementary football in a way that we haven't actually seen yet. I think that they're going to take that next step forward and they're going to get out early. And then the Seahawks are going to have to play catch up. I'm thinking like a two score first half lead. I'm going big. I'm saying Jags are ready for this one.
Wow. No hangover. Yeah. According to Ev there, I'm going to go Jags. You know, I thought I was pretty much on it with the Chiefs pick last week. We had Chiefs 27-24. It was 28-24.
Yeah.
Before that, that late thrill ride.
Damn it,
Trevor Lawrence. Yes. Yeah. I mean, Trevor's messing up my picks now. I don't appreciate that, but no, I'm going to go Jags. I'm going to go Jags. I think it's going to be something along the lines of what I thought it would be last week, but with the Jags on the right side of it, maybe 27-21, 27-24, something like that. It should be a hell of an entertaining game with the offenses and what they're capable of doing. I think the Jags, though, taking the ball away, to your point, I think, what is it, 14 takeaways now on the season, which
still
is
leading the NFL.
Just four more than the next closest defense. So that's a big number, 14 through five games. So I'm going Jags at home, Ev. There we go. We're on the record.
We're on the record. No, it's it should be a really exciting game. You know, I mean, this is like the kind of like AFC versus NFC matchup that you want to see on the afternoon slate. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually get some love on Red Zone for the first time
in
history. I feel like even touchdowns when the Jags score and they don't get put on Red Zone, but maybe this time. But yeah, no, if they can limit Njigba to, let's say, 70 or 80 yards, I think you take that. Mm-hmm. If you can keep him out of the end zone, I think you win this game. Because at the end of the day, like, Darnold's a good quarterback, but dude's got a mistake in him or two. I mean, he has three picks this year.
Yeah, threw three against Jags last year.
They've also effed around and found out in a couple of their games this season.
Yeah, I mean, they have.
That loss against the 49ers to open the season was awful.
Yeah. Like,
they looked not good in that game. They bounced back against a decent Steelers
team. 1-3 straight. Yeah.
And, you know, the Saints are terrible. But, I mean, in that Cardinals game, they should have lost. The Cardinals blew it.
Cardinals are good at that, you know.
Yeah, they're really good at that. And then also, I mean, vice versa, they kind of had the Bucs dead to rights. But Baker Mayfield, if you give him one chance at the end of the game,
he's Darnold did throw for 341 last week, so he's got that in him too. Yeah. He threw for 150 against the Niners in the opener, and then he throws for 341.
He actually he leads the NFL in yards per attempt right now. Darnold does. Mm-hmm.
Explosiveness.
Yeah.
And it helps when you can run the ball like they can, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that offensive line's legit. That's going to be probably the matchup to watch is the OTs versus Josh Hines Allen. Hopefully Trayvon Walker's good to go.
I think
he will be based on what we've been hearing, but that's going to be like, if the Jags can get any type of pass rush on Darnold, that'll be a massive, massive deal.
Yeah, Liam, you know, in his comments about it, sounded like Trayvon was pretty close by Monday night against the Chiefs, but they just sided with caution, which you absolutely should.
Also, Jags got to watch out for the special package, the Jalen Milroe.
Yes. Breakout. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it's on the way. You know, they're going to break it out at some point.
Yeah, and, it's coming in the red zone.
Just don't let them hit the outside. If you can just keep them between the hash, then you'll be all right. But
well, we're going to be all right because we're at Party Girl. 4205 St. John's Avenue in historic Avondale. You need to swing by. All these great meals, all these great sweets. You've got, you know what else we had this week? We had that meatloaf. Ma, meatloaf.
Ah, meatloaf.
With the homemade mac and cheese. Ooh, those went quick. That sounds good. They didn't last long. They did.
No, there wasn't any for me on Monday when I was in there. Nice. No, I before I made my drive back to Birmingham, I was able to swing by and say goodbye to mom and then also grab a few snacks and treats for the ride. Let me tell you, deviled eggs, absolutely fire, so good. I got
There's a chance. There's a chance your old man made those. So they were okay. They were all right.
They were really good. All right, they were really, really good. It has a very significant kind of dill pickle vibe to it that I was in love with. Had the I guess it was like a chocolate chip toffee cookie.
Those toffee cookies.
If a cookie has some type of like candy crunch in it like that, I'm in love with it. And that was great. And then I kind of threw a curveball to myself. Instead of going for the like red velvet or any of the chocolate, which are my kind of go to's, I got the I guess it was the champagne cake.
What did you think of that? That's unique.
I thought it was tremendous. I thought it was
got a
so
really
good.
Fun flavor, doesn't it?
It's refreshing. And I've never had a cake that really felt refreshing.
It pops a little bit.
That was tremendous. I thought it was so good. I was taking my spoon and scraping a spoon and then finger scraping out the icing in a little bit.
That buttercream icing is made daily. I mean, it's real deal stuff.
It's so
by
good.
From scratch.
It's not
right here.
It's not often that I can provide a testimonial because I just don't get down there enough. But this week it's fresh in my mind, and I'm sad I didn't bring more back. So
played some golf before the game on Monday, went out to the yards. Yep. Evan nearly had his first ace.
I know.
Number five.
Close.
Tracking. We've got video of that right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't seen
that, check
that
out.
Check it out.
I still got it.
Shot tracer technology and everything. So
it's rare that I can still find that high school game, but at least on that.
You still got it. You still got it. Shout out. HHI. Seahawks. Yeah. Speaking of Seahawks.
Seahawks.
All right, my man. It's been a lot of fun. On a Thursday afternoon, always enjoy catching up with Ev here on No Sleep Till. It is the Jags and the Seahawks coming up Sunday at Everbank. We'll be back next week to recap that matchup and look ahead to what's next for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But who knows? I mean, there could be a trade in the next 30 minutes and we might, Ev, have to jump back on.
Yeah, no, we'll see you tomorrow maybe.
It's all up to James, you know.
Yeah, hey, his machinations, his schemes.
He's got the strings.
Yes. I will say this real quick, just a final little thing about that. Something somebody said online that I wasn't really thinking about is that when James Gladstone calls other teams, they pick up. I think that's more of a thing than people realize. I think when Trent Baalke was shopping around, people had that man on spam, had him no caller ID, all that stuff. I think there's something to be said that, you know, people are willing to talk to Gladstone. So it's a good.
Well, it sounds like if he calls, he's serious. He's not just feeling you out. It sounds like if Gladstone calls, let's do some business.
Yeah. It's people, awesome. It's a very exciting time right now.
Absolutely. For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thank you for tuning in live right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. And until next time, so long, everybody.